Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Dr. Jim Sadler is our guest on the show this evening. And we also have Eric Hester, Dr. Sadler, speaking about ways to remind people to get out of the fast lane and to move over. It's a passing lane. And also, and he has some very unique ways. He says what he likes to do is get right up behind them and hit his high beams and lean on his horn. And that way they're reminded of what they need to do. Eric Hester will be with us. And Eric's going to be talking about something. I know we just wrote it, Janice, but I totally forgot. Oh, children. You know, the joy of having a child should be tempered with the knowledge and the realization that someday you may get so angry, you'll kill it. It's all coming up today on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And by way of describing our show, we're primarily a comedy show, although we do commentary. And no, we don't do comedy the way anybody else does. If you're not familiar with our program, please do stick around for many of the elements. But, well, maybe you'll enjoy what we're going to say this hour as well. The thing I want to tell you about our show is we're not a liberal or a conservative show. I got political points of view that come through, but I don't play that because all over America today we got conservative talk show hosts and liberal talk show hosts, and the only thing those guys are concerned with is being right. They don't care about what's true, they just want to be right. Like, for instance, this morning, I'm driving around with my wife, we're going to get coffee and we had an appointment. I listened to Limbaugh fumfering around with this whole CIA thing. See, Limbaugh, he don't want to know what's true, he just wants to be right. And if he can't be right, then the next thing that these guys do is then they attack Democrats for being scumbags who want to tear down their country. And look what they're doing with this CIA deal. Now, we talked a lot about this last night. If you don't know what's up with this thing, I'll give you a thumbnail sketch. A former United States ambassador's wife, who is a CIA operative, not analyst, described as an operative, by the way, in the Robert Novak column, if anybody cares to check, was outed. Now, what does that mean, outed? It means she was described as a CIA operative. So for some of the brain surgeons who today said, well, in this guy Wilson's biography, it states that he's married to a Valerie Plame. Yeah, I get it already, Sherlock. The problem being, it doesn't say he's married to Valerie Plame, CIA operative. Understand? When you put the two together, you have now what's called a federal crime, if anybody cares to take the time. That means 10 years in the federal minimum security lockup, most probably up the coast here at Lompoc, maybe in one of the tidier areas of Pelican Bay. Who knows? All right. What happened was, this guy goes to Niger, this Wilson. He is sent there by the administration to check on claims that Niger is making some kind of a uranium deal with Iraq. He comes back, he says, no, there are no such dealings. The White House thinks his report is, what's the word? They think it's incomplete, I think is how they described it. They don't buy it, in other words. They don't buy it. This guy, Wilson, is publicly critical of President Bush's Iraq policies. It comes out, as you know, during a State of the Union speech that President Bush believes that Iraq was trying to obtain uranium. It is later claimed by some that perhaps this is not the case, the British are involved, so on and so forth, and this guy, Wilson, ratchets up his criticism of the president. Now, in July of this past summer, journalists or a journalist are called or contacted by, quote, administration sources, end quote. Does that mean in the White House? Does that mean in the Treasury Department? Where does that mean? We don't know. And are told that this wife of Ambassador Wilson, this Valerie Plame, well, she's a CIA employee. She is a CIA, in the words of this guy Novak, who doesn't seem to know what he says from one minute to the next, a CIA operative. Read it and weep. Not analyst, not secretary, not janitor, not honorary ass wiper. No, operative. An operative on weapons of mass destruction. That is a violation of federal law. It went into print. It went into print. Novak printed it. Even though Novak said yesterday he was asked, A, not to use the woman's name. He did anyway. B, he says that the CIA said to him that it was of no consequence because this was not a really sensitive job or something. The CIA yesterday, through a spokesman, said, that's complete crap. We would never say such a thing. So Novak is either a liar, which I personally think he is. I just personally think he's lying through his teeth, because I think he got caught with his pants down around his ankles and his hands so shoved up the cookie jar that it won't matter if he gets a handful of $100 bills, he'll never pull it out of there. Or something's wrong, right? So now the CIA director reads, or someone in the CIA reads, the name of Valerie Plame, CIA operative. And this is a red flag to the CIA director, who immediately forwards this information to the Justice Department to say, has a crime been committed here? I believe that an employee of the CIA, Valerie Plame, or Valerie Wilson, has been exposed, compromised, in the words of our television shows that deal with the CIA, like Alias. You know, they use the words like compromised and, terminated and exterminated and determinated and all of that stuff. So the Justice Department does a preliminary check and comes back with, yeah, there might have been a problem and we're going to continue our investigation. This hits the news media this past weekend. Now, why did it take that long? I don't know. Maybe this is the length of time it took for the Justice Department to get up to speed on this whole thing. It hits the news. The news is that there is the possibility that, well, a crime has been committed. Now, we got to know who committed it. Now, what happened today? Well, all of these lightweights, these conservative talk shows, you know, the problem, I don't care. You can do whatever you want for a living. Man can do whatever he wants. You can make your living any way you want. But when you're beating the drum for one particular line of thought, all you do is paint yourself into a corner when it takes a little bit more broad-minded thinking, when it takes a little bit of thinking outside the box. The first thing I'm listening to these squeaky-voiced jackballs saying today is, this is politics, that the Democrats are playing politics, and this is exactly what they do. And everybody did it.
We'll be back to the Sean Hannity Show in just a moment.
Get real and get a little education while you're on the subject, too, on this particular matter. Whether they're playing politics with it or not, personally, I don't agree with it. Democrats want an independent prosecutor. They don't need an independent prosecutor, okay? Pelosi, and you too, Daschle. Now just slow it down, because I lived through Watergate. I was there. I saw how it ripped the guts right out of this country. Who needs it? You got to be putting me on. Janice gave me a story today, by the way, about how they're not getting enough quit smoking help at the state level because women need to quit smoking. Hey, this is a bad time to ask people to quit smoking, okay? You stop smoking, jackballs, back it way, way off. And all you people that wave the smoke away in public, even though it's outdoors and perfectly legal, I would cool it back a little bit. Otherwise, you're going to lose that hand. Bad time to ask people to quit smoking. So now we come to today, and what's the first thing that's coming out of the mouths of half of these people who are huge Bush supporters? It's the Democrats playing politics. Is there no room in this world, in this country that we live in, is there no room at all for people to open their minds up a little bit and say, you know, maybe the other side occasionally has a good point, or maybe we need to look beyond all of these artificial descriptions of ourselves, conservative and liberal. Somebody tells me they're a conservative now, I say, so you're an idiot, is that it? If somebody says the same thing, that they're a liberal, I think the same thing. Anybody that describes themselves in those finite terms, as far as I'm concerned, is a colossal raging idiot. You have to be an idiot. Otherwise, you have no capability of thinking beyond. If life calls upon you to think beyond those limitations, you have no ability to do that. You have to be flexible. Science must be flexible. So one day the earth is flat, guess what? The next day it was round. Why? Well, we found out something new, didn't we? But a lot of these cats that call themselves conservatives, by God, you'd think, man, it's right from God Almighty himself. They got the conservative line. They went up there, they had a couple of shots and a beer with God himself, and he said, you go back down there and get everybody straightened out. You cats are this close to being put in a padded cell, half of you. I mean in the soft room with a little basket weaving kit, and they'll come and get you for dinner. Now, let me clue you in on something in case you don't know it. This is the fact. By the way, the president today, I thought was admirable. He said, we're calling for the investigation. We'll let the Justice Department do their job. I want everybody open and coming clean. I want everybody cooperating. We're going to get to the bottom of this. His own father said that people who leak, people who expose CIA operatives' names, his own father, George W. H., said it is a particularly kind of disgusting treason to out someone who is working covertly. Nobody likes it. There's not an American out there that likes it. And so the guy that did it, he's got himself and his ass is in a big pan of hot water right now. Now, this guy Novak, I understand, is a real smart cookie, 46 years a conservative columnist, yada, yada, yada. Well, guess what, pal? You ain't too bright. Now, Bush said today, I want people inside and outside of the administration cooperating. Now, who do you think that means? How about blabbermouth Novak here? So you may be protecting some sources, Novak, but you're going back on yourself. You don't even know what the hell it is you're saying from one second to the next. You say they told you not to mention the name, but you mention the name. You say it isn't that very important of a job. Then you go on to call her an operative yourself. The CIA's calling you a liar. I mean, they're calling you a liar to your face. By the way, this guy, Karl Rove, that everybody says might have done it, nobody really believes it, but that was the early betting that maybe Rove, this guy, I don't know, what the hell does he do? He's something or other in the White House, right? He's a big shot. He's been with Bush ever since day one. Everybody was speculating as to whether or not he did it, and a lot of people say, well, maybe he didn't, you know. But the guy was fired back in 1992 by the Bush-Quayle campaign after he was suspected of leaking some information to guess who? Novak and Evans. Wow, that name just popped up again, didn't it? Now, you've heard it before. I'll give it to you again, just so you know. This is a federal crime, punishable by up to 10 years in prison. What is it, about a $50,000, $100,000 fine, Janice? $50,000, $50,000 fine. You go to prison. And the best thing that can happen right now is for whoever did this to come forward. Go to the president and tell him, you come to me, I'll take you over to the attorney general myself, you can sit down, he'll interview you thoroughly, and maybe we'll probably be able to cut a deal. You cut a deal. You're inside for 18 months, whatever. But the longer you put it off, the tougher this is going to get. And the problem is it has a very wearying effect on the country. It becomes, yes, it does become partisan. It shouldn't, but it does become partisan. It started today. I'm listening to all of these dumbasses on the radio, these Republicans talking about all this. I'm listening to these dumbass Democrats in Washington talking about all of that. And you and I, where are we? We're stuck in the middle. It seems like we're the only ones that actually love our country. You know, all we want to do is solve the problem. These clowns want to make political hay out of everything. Everything. There isn't a bowel movement these guys have had. They don't want to turn around and say, well, I wonder if this can help me get elected. These guys have been saving up their bowel movements for years in the off chance that trotting them out might help them get reelected. Everywhere they go. But you and me, we're stuck in the middle. You and me, Mr. and Mrs. America, we're stuck here in the middle. All we want to do is make sure our country is secure, make sure that the people we elected are working morning, noon, and night on our behalf. We want to work hard ourselves. We want to get a job. We don't mind paying our taxes so long as nobody's sticking a gun in our ribs. And then we want to, you know, have a couple of laughs, just a couple of lousy laughs in this world before we knock off for the night. And what do we got to do? We got to look at these idiots in Washington and these clowns in Chicago in a newspaper office someplace. You listen to talk show host after talk show host filling you full of the biggest load of crap ever to pour out of any slaughterhouse. I mean, just the biggest load of manure ever to fertilize a flower field. I mean, the National Rose Festival, man, ain't seen this amount of bull crap. Have I made my point? All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. You'll be happy to know I ain't done with this yet by a long shot. Coming up, we haven't had one of these in a while. Who's ripping off Phil Hendry this week? Yes, another talk show host back east ripping our material off. Not just material. I mean, that's nothing, you know. But it's our whole style of doing a radio show. We also have Dr. Jim Sadler on to talk about how to get people to move out of the fast lane. Just lean on your horn and give them the brights. Eric Hester on to give you parents, newlywed parents, you new parents, the information that, your baby is great, but you may wind up killing it. And then, of course, I want to give you our email address. We'll have our mailbag today. PHS@PhilHenryShow.com. PHS@PhilHenryShow.com. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, by the way, this Mepham High School football coach, coach of the Mepham Ass Pirates, well, he apparently apologized. He said, "I'm really so sorry that your son had pine cones crammed up his rear end and golf balls and stuff. I did everything in my power to protect the kids, but, boys will be boys." Oh, thanks a lot. Let's give him a round of applause. Especially after he had his, especially after this thing is national news, and he's probably got reporters following him everywhere except to the John, now he's apologizing. Guys like you, I am touched by your insincerity. You gotta take a look at this guy's kisser. He looks like one of these guys running for governor of California. He's got the honest face of a freaking head waiter. The Mepham High School football coach today apologized to the families. "I would apologize and say I'm sorry we couldn't take care of your son, but we did everything in our power to do so." So he didn't apologize. Understand, somebody very smart told me once, the real apology comes after the word "but." If anybody ever says to you, "I'm sorry, but," they have not apologized to you. You know that, right? You aware of that? If anyone ever says to you, "Janice, I'm sorry, baby, that I beat you, but, you see, there were extenuating circumstances." See what I'm saying? That's not an apology. They say, "I'm sorry I beat you up, honey, and I'll go and get help." And then you start to talk about, well, what are the causes of this? Well, you cheating on me with that person. See? So they say, "I apologize." So this guy, this Kevin McElroy, who looks like a kind of a thick-headed football coach, he's got kind of the Neanderthal look, the eyes a little too close together, maybe that unibrow, looks like he plucks it. He's got the big, thick neck. And any guy who the base of the neck is wider than the top of the head, you got some serious trouble there, man. We got ourselves another branch on the evolutionary tree, and it don't exactly say human. You guys that are coaching football, do yourselves, and I know a lot of guys that are involved in the high school program, great guys, especially the guys in my kids' school. They're terrific guys, honest to God. And we never bug them about anything. You do what you got to do, coach. You got to do what you know. If you can't play my kid, you can't play my kid. But the rest of these guys, it's high school, man. It ain't the Super Bowl. "These boys were supervised virtually every hour of the day up to 11:30. He added lights were out at 10 and a bed check was done after that, and that school policy does not allow adults to stay in cabins with students," which I understand completely. Totally understand that. "He was disappointed that the accused players or the other members of the team did not immediately come forward." Oh, I see. So it's all their fault, huh? You know full well one of these kids came to you, McElroy. You lying sack of crap. These kids came to you. You're the guy that slammed the door in that father's face. That other kid had his head stuck in a bowl full of urine. Who are you kidding? The Mepham Ass Pirates, man. Check the poop deck. I think that's the name of their magazine. It's the Ass Pirates poop deck. And Scuttlebutt is one of the columns. That's that lady email us that. I couldn't believe that one. Looks like it's time for another name. Are you getting the drift? If you'll pardon the expression, drift, as in pirate ship drift. Looks like you guys need a whole other name. I don't know what, maybe Tail Gunners? Oh, I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, who's ripping off Phil this week? Arafat thought he was poisoned. Unfortunately, it wasn't the case. Scott Peterson update. Nazi flags at high school games. Just the usual, it's another day in America. It's just another good old country song. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, who's ripping off Phil Hendry this week? Hello, I'm God. And now Phil Hendry.
Thank you, God. Yeah, just get some fruit in the green room or something.
All right.
All right, this week we get this email from Kenny Y, who says, hey, that guy Glenn Beck is copying Phil Hendry now by making voices up of callers. This morning he made one that sounded a lot like Phil's Korean War veteran voice. Sincerely, with deep love and deep affection, Kenny. Well, now, what do you know about that? Now, this is not the first time, of course, we receive emails like these. Didn't we get an email about Glenn a few months ago, Janice? That he's doing the Bud Dickman voice? Now, I happen to know Glenn, and he's a very nice guy, and he's come to see my show. I mean, who hasn't come to see my show? Who in radio hasn't come to see my show? So then, it's one thing, though, to come and watch the show. It's another thing to begin to execute elements of the show that you know, the elements on your show that you've seen of mine. So he's a nice cat, and I say this with the greatest of respect, Glenn, and I know you've got a book out. He has a book, and he did a Cross America tour, and he's making millions. And he's got more stations than I do. He probably makes more money than I do. We're syndicated by the same company, and he's lifting my stuff. I don't want to have to get nasty about this, but if I do, I won't buy your book, Glenn. I told you I wouldn't. I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna read it. I don't care. Or maybe I'll buy it and then glue all the pages together and sneak it back into the store. So there. Every now and again, I got to come up here and I got to spank somebody that's stealing my act. And you know what? I ain't worked 13 years on this stuff, developing all of these characters, doing all this shtick, just to have some guy who is, you know, a little light on material come along and go, well, they're paying me a lot of money. What am I going to do today? I know. I'll steal Phil Hendry's show. No, 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 no. Ain't going to happen, baby. Now, this is fair warning. We had to come out and spank that Brian Whitman guy. I hear he got all pissy about it. So just knock it off, Glenn. You're too talented. Way too talented to be doing the goofball Phil Hendry act, all right? Well, that's it, God. Come on in.
This has been Who's Ripping Off Phil Hendry This Week?
This is Jesus Christ speaking.
All right. Now that we've done that, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, we will have Dr. Jim Sadler on our program today. We'll also have Eric Hester. Did I already say all of this? Yeah, okay, never mind. I want to mention something about these Muslim school things. We're never going to get too far away from this CIA leak. We just ain't going to get too far away from anything leaking out of the CIA. But I want to mention this Muslim school situation. There's a Muslim school. It's not really a Muslim school situation. It's the Muslim interpreters, the translators, and the chaplains working at Guantanamo. And a school, a particular Muslim school, was identified as a place where some, not all of these people, but some of them, were trained. Most recently, they've arrested a guy coming into the United States from Egypt with classified Guantanamo documents on his person. Now maybe some of you cats that bellyache about profiling, and some of you cats that scream about profiling Muslims and ragheads, now maybe you got some inkling as to what it is we're up against over here. Or maybe you don't care. Maybe you don't care. A couple of these guys are United States servicemen. So that's real good. Thanks a lot, guys. So you'd rather stick a knife right into the back of your country than maybe, you know, maybe just loosen the towel on your head a little bit, huh? So you got more allegiance to some wrinkled up mullah and some book than you do to your own country that's provided a life for you, that's provided a pretty damn good life for you, that's provided a pretty damn good career for you, that's allowed you the opportunity to celebrate your goofy religion. And I say goofy with all due respect, but hey, you know, I mean, that's just that we talk about Christianity the same way. So don't even go there. Don't even start. Your goofball religion. Which, you know, see, here's the thing about Islam, which I've mentioned before, and a lot of this needs reiterating. Islam is in its zealot phase. Now, what phase is that, Phil? Well, that's the phase that Christianity was in, say, about 400, 500 years ago. Although Christianity really has only recently begun to really seriously take a look at its connection to violence, which you'd be
pretty funny. No, you know, it's a religion based upon the teachings and tenets of Jesus Christ, and it's been a violent religion for so long that now it's sort of backing off. Well, maybe black people shouldn't be lynched. Let's pray on it, brothers. So Islam is in that phase right now. They are where Christianity was 500 years ago. They're going around and they think that if you're not Islamic, you get butchered up. You get butchered alive with an airplane or a knife or a machine gun or something. They can't kill enough people in that religion. They can't shed enough blood. And I know I get the email from people, you don't understand Islam, Phil, it's a very peaceful religion. Yeah, okay, that's cool, and you're an American Muslim. You're completely different from the people who practice it in the Middle East. You're an American Muslim living in Detroit, living in Chicago, living in San Francisco. You have a career and a car and a house and a pool. You live like an American, in other words, okay? What have you got in common with some guy walking around for a cigarette butt out in the wilds of Afghanistan with the towel on his head, and 5 days, you know, 5 times a day, he bends down in the desert and prays to Allah, and then he goes out and he kills another quail for his dinner? What do you got in common with him? You got nothing in common with him, so just knock it off, will you? You know exactly what it is I'm talking about. I'm talking about these zealots, these fundamentalists. Say the word fundamentalist and it all means the same thing no matter what the religion. It means violence, it means intolerance, it means fascism, and it means we all better get our guns. We got to protect civilization, and we have to protect the future. That's what we stand for in this country, the future. These guys, they stand for the past. They don't want the future. The future means women dress the way they want. The future means there's equality among all religions. The future means a lot of things. What's that got to do with Islam as it's practiced in the Middle East? It's got nothing to do with that. And I mean Egypt, Saudi Arabia, nowhere. I've said this before, and I'll keep on saying it. Nowhere over there is there a friend other than Israel. This guy's coming in. He's got classified documents from Guantanamo, but we're not supposed to profile anybody. He's an Islamic interpreter. One of them's a chaplain, but we can't profile. That's not fair. That's not right. So I'll just say this, and then I'll move on. I hate to break the news to you. But this is, as the president said, is an ongoing war. And just when you all start getting comfortable and settling your asses down into the nice cushy chair at night, and you're going to flip on Survivor Galapagos Islands, Survivor North Pole. Just when you got to settle your fat ass down into the chair, guess what? You know, things need to be addressed. You think 9/11 was just an aberration? How you think it just was? Now they got guys that are getting popped for espionage. Guys that work in our military. Backstabbing, no good, piece of crap traitors wearing towels on their heads. If anybody is interested. The Middle East Islamic, the people of the Middle East who practice the Islamic faith hate America and they want us to go away. It is based upon religious and misguided fever dream political beliefs and thoughts. They come up with any kind of screwy synthesis between politics and religion that they can sell to some poor starving slob in the street, what they call the Arab street. I love that, the Arab street. Makes you think of just a bunch of guys in bare feet with their fists up in the air, doesn't it? Just a bunch of scrawny, hungry-looking jackasses, right? So the Arab street's got to dig on some real weird synthesis of politics and religion, and they spoon-feed it to the people over there. There's no truth in it. You don't mix in any truth, because truth would mean that a lot of those mullahs and all of those religious clerics over there, well, the people would probably hang them. By sundown, they'd hang every last one of them if they actually knew the truth. In fact, if the people of the Middle East had actually been given truth rather than lies all these years, Hussein, we wouldn't have had to go over to take out Hussein. The people would have done it themselves. And that includes all the sheet wearers down there in Saudi Arabia and Syria and Jordan and you name it, man. So now these guys are spying on our country. They're coming into the country with classified documents. They're getting caught walking out of Gitmo with classified documents. Some of these guys are aiding and abetting. I mean, some of them are members of our own military, and they all got one thing in common, baby. They're Islamic and they're Arab. Arab. Now, that doesn't mean that you run out like some dumb redneck and start beating up on the first brown-skinned Arab that you find. What I'm saying is there is a profile. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to be want it to be true or not, there's an age group. There are countries of origin. And one of them is Egypt, and I never trusted that hole as long as far as I could throw it. Egypt. Yeah, you want a nice vacation? Go down to Egypt sometime and get dysentery. Egypt's a toilet. I got friends of mine travel to Egypt on business. They can't get out of there fast enough. The stink alone, you can't go out of your hotel. It stinks like an open sewer down there. And these guys are supposedly friends of ours? Man, with friends like that, who needs enemies? I just came up with that one. Speaking of the stink down in Egypt, it's finally arrived, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse Honolulu shirt. Yes, that's right, a resort-style shirt exclusively made in honor of the grand opening of Ted's in Beverly Hills, now the new Honolulu store. Please, by all means, go to our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com, and check out the new Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse Honolulu shirt. The new Ted's of Beverly Hills in Honolulu, located on Florman Boulevard, and the food there is just great. Call 1-555-555-5555 for more details and dinner reservations. Ted's of Beverly Hills in Honolulu. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, I'm going to talk about the so-called recall. Boy, if ever there was a... you talk about anti-climax. This recall, man, there's about as much suspense and intrigue left in this thing as a warm bottle of beer. Oh, yeah. Big story. I'll tell you one thing. Schwarzenegger's going to get elected. There's no doubt. There's no, you know, just give it up. Schwarzenegger's in. Huffington's going to announce. It can't come too soon, Ms. Huffington, with the greatest of respect, ma'am. I do respect your patriotism and the fact that you wanted to help your state. But may I just say this without any, you know, without needing to offer any offense. You shot yourself in, you didn't just shoot yourself in the foot the other night in that debate. You just put the gun right to your head and pulled the trigger. So she's going to announce that she's out. You know, Schwarzenegger's in. But I want to say this. I don't know if anybody's going to hear it, but once he gets in, they better fix that recall law. And I mean they better fix it, but good. Because just because in 10 months you get the, you know, things just aren't going your way, man. It just isn't going the way you thought it ought to go. That's not the reason you recall a governor, because you changed your freaking mind. And because things aren't happening the way you want them to happen, and because they're not going a million miles a minute, and you're not getting your hamburger in 30 seconds, that's no reason to go in and throw the guy out of office. I got news for you. You know, you elect a man for 4 years. You're stuck with him for 4 years. You're the one that put him there. And don't tell me you didn't vote for him, so you're not responsible for him. I get so tired of hearing these people say, you ever seen that bumper sticker, don't blame me, I voted for Bush? Hey, I'm blaming you. Are you an American? Boy, that pisses me off. Don't blame me. I voted for... Oh, okay. So what country are you living in? You living in Panama or something? You living in the Confederate States of America? You're an American. You bet I'll blame you. I blame me. I blame me for blaming you. I blame me for even knowing you. So the recall is over. There's no suspense left. There's no excitement left. It's just how much is he going to win by? Will McClintock make a good showing? McClintock doesn't want to bail out, and I don't blame the guy. This isn't some, you know, let me explain how life works to some people, especially some of you guys at your little, your party infrastructure up there. This guy McClintock's not involved in some primary, okay? There was no primary. There was just a bunch of people that jumped in. A bunch, as you found out last night, because we read the list of all of these candidates. And by the way, we went on the Mary, quite contrary, Carrie website, that porn actress that's running for governor. Boy, Mary, you're very beautiful, but what a huge ass. I would definitely, Atkins is in your future. No, I mean, with all due respect, I mean, you are a porn actress, so what, I'm not allowed to comment? I mean, if you're going to buy our movies, don't you think for the 99-cent overnight special, you deserve more? I guess you're getting more, aren't you? When I say more, I don't mean we need more rear end. We just, in any event, I won't vote for you, Ms. Carey, until you lose about 50 pounds off your ass. But then, I will throw all of my support behind you, if you'll pardon the expression. In any event, this thing is done, and now it's just a matter. And McClintock, here's a guy who I think is, and like I say, he has his ideas formulated. I happen to agree with many of them. I don't like this pro-life bullcrap. Get out of here with that, you Bible thumper. And you come from my district, McClintock, Thousand Oaks. But I happen to agree with the man that we've got an illegal immigration problem in this state. And when you say you have a problem with illegal immigrants, it doesn't make you a Nazi. It makes you a realist, and it makes you somebody who's returning to a sensible way of thinking, which is, excuse me, aren't you supposed to be here legally? That's number one. Or am I asking too much? Number two, no, you don't get a driver's license. Number three, no, you don't get to vote. Who would put forth such ideas? Who would proffer? What kind of a mind would conceive of giving a driver's license to an illegal person in this country? What kind of a mind would conceive of the idea of giving an illegal immigrant the right to vote? What kind of mental deprivation? What, is the oxygen not getting up there? Is there a brain tumor? This is what we're talking about. We're talking about a political mindset in this state that has gone way off track, man. I mean, it's not only off the track, it's taken a dirt road. It don't even know where the freaking railroad station is anymore. All right, one more thing. 39 states fail for stop smoking policies. I got big news for you, okay? National Women's Law Center. You want more money to get women to quit smoking? Maybe those women don't want to quit smoking right now. This is a hell of a time to quit smoking. I think you stop smoking people better back it way down, because, you know what, we got a bigger fish to fry. So we need to smoke a cigarette here and have ourselves a drink, and you just take your stop smoking program and park it someplace until times get a little bit better and we have a little bit more time to quit smoking. Right now we're chain smoking the way things are going on around here. We got a recall, we got ragheads, we got Iraqis, we got this, we got the French, we got that, we got Bush, we got the CIA. Pardon me if I smoke. And again, you people would love to wave the smoke away and the ooh and making the comment. I mean, you would never make a comment about someone's appearance or anything else publicly. But only smoking do you feel empowered to make the comment, even though your health's not endangered. Your health is not endangered by my secondhand smoke on a street corner. Sorry, okay? And with that wave in the hand and telling me what to do, I'm liable to tell you to pound it right up you know where, okay? Just get ready for that one. I think all of you smokers out there ought to do the same thing, you know? Dr. Jim Sandler up next. Of course, if you get the crap beat out of you, that's you're on your own. Dr. Jim Sandler's up next on how he deals with people who drive in the fast lane. He deals with them through compassion. We want to talk to Dr. Sandler coming up next on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry,
1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler is with us, and it's always good to have you, Dr. Sadler. We're talking about traffic and about patience in traffic and how to get people to behave like civilized people in traffic, right?
And Phil, I couldn't help but take notice of something you said on your show a few weeks back about people who are in the number one lane, which is the far left-hand lane going 55 or slower.
Right. That is a passing lane. And I was saying that you should only be in that lane if you are passing people. Otherwise, move over. And there's so many people that just go slow there, and you're stuck behind them, right?
Phil, I wanted to talk with you because I used to get very angry about that and about the way people drove, especially blocking the fast lane or who went too slow. And you see a lot of these people in the fast lane driving home tonight for many people listening. I decided to be proactive because really what I think we should do is help each other. I don't think anger in traffic, for a lot of obvious reasons, is healthy. But why not be help. Now, there is a constant highway statute throughout the United States, and I've been familiar with this for a long time because I've shared your frustration. I wanted to bring to your attention, the attention of your listeners, that, first of all, as you say, it is against the law to go slower, to be in the number one lane just cruising. You have to pass and then get out.
That's right. That is a passing lane. I know a lot of people see people cruising in that lane, but generally, if you do, they're going pretty fast. They're not anybody that you're going to be stuck behind. If you're going to be, if somebody's stuck behind you and you're in the number one lane, get out of that lane.
All right. Now, having said that, I want to bring to your attention something that I started doing back in the mid-1970s, and since then, and I grew up in Houston, Texas. When I started doing it, it grew out of Houston. A lot of people picked up on it, and that is, what I do is I will get right up behind them, right up behind that car, so that I'm traveling in the fast lane as well. Someone is blocking my way.
Right.
I will get right up on that bumper, and I turn on my high beams, the high beams of my light. Now, this does two things. It sends a very clear signal that you, the person is too slow, and would you please move over? And it effectively diverts the driver's attention from anything other than moving over to get the glare out of the rearview mirror. But I've been driving for 33 years, and it has never, ever failed me. Drivers always move over when you get right up behind them, hit the bright beams, and they will move over. Now, people appreciate this because what happened, and here's the reason why this doesn't cause rage. A lot of other things cause rage, giving people the, but when you pull right up behind someone and throw on the high beams, that's at night.
Okay.
They realize that they're going slow, and they realize that they're being reminded to move over, and they don't get frustrated. They appreciate it, and it becomes a place where we are connecting with each other. They recognize they've had a lapse of intelligence. I did this in 1975 in Houston, and I have found that it has served me very well ever since.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler about driving, especially people sitting in the fast lane and not letting you by. Getting up behind somebody and hitting the high beams, that wouldn't make them angry.
I've never had anyone get angry with me, and I think it's because, first of all, I used to wrestle in high school, and I like to think it's because I rest my left arm on the window so that when you go by, you can see that I've got a fairly well-developed forearm and bicep. But more importantly, Phil, so if they see that, they know that they'll be tangling with someone who is built. But more importantly, they don't get angry, and this is really the key. They don't get angry, Phil, because they appreciate the fact that they want to be told when they're doing something, you know, people want to be told when they're doing something stupid, that it could kill them, or it could get another driver killed. When you remind them that they've had a lapse, you know, that they're being dumb, they're, and it's just momentary. Or experimenting, trying to get away with you know, are they trying to piss, to use your language, are they trying to piss me off? Because it's, you don't want to do that either. So I think they are appreciative.
That when you pull up behind them, hit the high beams, they're appreciative you're reminding them to move over.
I think a lot of people are, yeah. There are some people who will get angry, but I have never in 30 years ever been in the fast lane of the freeway, had someone be slower than me that I didn't pull right up behind them, and I'm talking a couple of feet off the bumper because you don't want to do anything dangerous, and I hit the high beams, and that sends a very clear signal for them to get over that they've momentarily been stupid, and now you've reminded them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here, talking about driving and the fast lane, and the fact that people who sit in that number one lane going 55 or even 60, or even just block traffic with their car because they think as long as they're doing the speed limit, they can sit in that number one lane, you come right up behind them and hit the high beams. Now, you were telling Janice earlier about
not only do I hit the high beams, Phil, but I leave the high beams on until they move over. Some people blink, and I've never thought that blinking the high beams, I leave them on at a very high beam, and if they don't move over right away, I'll turn on my fog lights along with the high beams to add some of the glare. And also, putting the fog lights on says to them, don't be stupid. don't make the driver behind you angry. Move over. That's what the fog lights say. The high beams also say you're now officially stupid. Move over. And I've never had anyone get angry with me in the 30 years I've been driving.
Now, you were telling Janice about handicapped drivers.
That's correct.
What is it about handicapped drivers? And I like your point of view, but handicapped drivers believe that because they're handicapped, they can't drive as fast or as skillfully as other drivers, and you want them to believe that they're just as good as any other driver, right?
That is right. We saw very good success, Phil, with handicapped drivers by using uprights just to remind people in the fast lane to get out of the lane. But we decided to help handicapped drivers. There's some 20 million handicapped drivers in the United States. Many of them see themselves in a very negative light when it comes to driving. I think this is wrong. I think the handicapped driver is capable of far more than he or she thinks. And when I see a handicapped mirror tag, or a handicapped plate, the person is generally doing much less than the speed limit, because that's what many of the handicapped are the ones who don't, you know. If you're pulling yourself in and out of a van with a special elevator in a wheelchair, how fast can you go? Especially if you've got blocks on the accelerator and your legs have been stunted by polio, so you've got small little legs that are useless, and so you've got to use these big blocks, and you're sitting on a telephone book, and the whole thing's embarrassing, and so you don't want to draw attention to yourself. But I tell them, yes, you can. And when I see someone who's handicapped driving too slow, we will get up behind them, and we will accelerate to try to get them to go faster. And we also use four short blasts of the horn like this, and I can get over to the car right now.
Do you use the brights?
At night, we will use the brights. We use four short blasts like this. That's number two. Number three, and number four. Those four blasts are a signal to the handicapped people, you can go faster, you can do it, go, 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 be as good as any other driver that doesn't have to have these different aids. And this encourages them to speed up and to recognize that they have the ability to operate a motor vehicle as well as anyone, even if they... even if you look, see, one of the things we like to say, you may look like a freak outside of the car, but in the car, you're just like everybody else. Now, the handicapped drive slow because they've almost lost their lives once, and that's why they're handicapped. They're scared to go the speed limit. And we say to them, don't be a coward, don't embarrass your children, and don't piss off the people. And I say piss off, Phil.
That's okay.
But don't make the other drivers angry. Get going. Go faster, faster, faster. That's number two. And if you're handicapped and you hear these four sounds, that means to get going. Remember, outside of the car, you're a freak. Inside the car, you're just as good as anybody else.
Yeah, now that's a little rough, you're a freak.
No, I didn't mean to say that. So what I mean is you're different. Also, people in the fast lane, remember people in the fast lane, when you see someone get up behind you and hit their brights, move over before you start making people angry.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler joins us here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with him about automobile etiquette. We've been talking about people who are sitting in the fast lane and are still just sitting in that fast lane and sitting in that fast lane. They don't get out of the fast lane. He recommends that you get right up behind them and hit the brights. If they don't move, hit your fog lamps as well. That is a clear signal that they're making you angry. If you're handicapped and you hear the four distinct beeps of the horn, that means to move faster. He's trying, Dr. Sadler, and I got to appreciate his work, to get drivers to be more courteous and to also get them to feel that, especially in the case of the handicapped, they belong out there. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. He's got a book, doesn't he, coming out, Janice? If I'm not mistaken. But we're going to get into how he got into this line of work, too. I want to find out, because there's something very, very personal about it, all of this for Dr. Sadler. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Dr. Jim Sadler with us. We're talking about traffic, especially out in the fast lane, the number one lane where you're supposed to be either passing or getting out of the lane. You can't be blocking faster traffic behind you. You say get right up behind him and hit the high beams. You also say you're honking at the handicap.
So we're not honking at the handy. We're reminding the handicapped they're as good as anybody else. They can go a lot faster. Quit thinking like it. What we say is if you think like a cripple, you are a cripple. As far as everybody else, if the high beams, remind you that you've been momentarily, not totally, you've been momentarily an idiot, and now it's time to return to being intelligent and to move over. And as I mentioned, I said that I used to be a wrestler. I've got a pretty big upper body, and when I put my left arm, I rested on the window, people can see that, you know, I'm ripped. And so this also adds to my ability to get in the move over.
All right, 1-800-449-8666. Did we have a gentleman commenting on that? Is he on line two? Raleigh, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Is that me, Raleigh?
Yes, sir. Raleigh, go right ahead.
I have to object to about six of the things that your guest has already spoken, not the least of which is his suggestion about the high beams and close on the bumper is extremely dangerous.
Oh, yes.
And on top of, may I just finish?
Certainly.
And on top of that, it does anger people. But what I really want to object to is calling people freaks. And suggesting that they look like freaks when they get out of the car. And I really object then, if you think like a cripple, you are a cripple. You are suggesting that handicapped people are somewhat, in some way, fashion, less than the rest of us. You even call them equal in the car. How dare you?
Well, Dr. Sadler, some of the things you said may have been misunderstood or misinterpreted. Do you have a comment?
Well, Phil, let me jump in. Raleigh, I certainly, in no way, want to intimate that the handicap and that, but it's the perception when they're wheeling around outside or struggling, limping across a crosswalk that they're not the same.
That's not my perception.
All right, but in a car, why would they want to go slow and look like a grandmother? What we do is we get right up behind them. You can hear that, sir? Did you hear that, sir? I'm sorry.
Oh, I heard that,
okay.
Yes, but that's
what
my
we do.
Perception is.
And, again, we do a lot of different things. If the high beams don't seem to remind the person to move over, I can move over one lane and, you know, you can, a plastic water pistol.
The last thing that I'd like to say,
what do you mean,
I'll be quiet. I think I've made my point. Putting your arm that is muscular on the window of your car suggests that the way we handle each other is through might, through muscle, through fighting, through violence, because if I mess with you, you've got that muscle to take care of business.
Well,
you're totally despicable.
Well, sir, despicable. I'm trying to help. What side of the bed did you get up out of today? I'm trying to say...
I was okay till I...
Well, let me ask you, if you're driving by me and you see how ripped I am, are you going to mess with me? No, of course not. What I'm saying is...
You can't be serious. I'm not going to change my behavior because you've put a muscled arm on your window.
Well, why are you going slow in the number one lane? That's a passing lane only. Why do I have to get physical with you? That's a better question. I've got my wrist... Well, you can laugh if you want, but I've got a wrestling all-star badge taped to my window.
Well, I promise you...
What are you doing going slow in the number one lane?
You tape a wrestling badge?
Yes. Yes. So, Raleigh, I suggest when you hear this, because you're handicapped, aren't you? You got upset with that. When you hear that, just get out of my way and...
All right. Thank you, Raleigh, for your call. Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Number one, I'm a professional driver of 35 years. I've never had an accident that was my fault.
Well,
I'm on the road day in and day out.
That's what you say.
No, that's what I am.
Let the gentleman talk.
Well, okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. Number one, you have no business running up behind people. Are you aware of the federal regulations that also govern four-wheelers? No, you're not.
Well,
Number one. Number two.
Is your insurance plane?
Hold on a minute. I'm speaking, sir.
Well, all right.
You're a blamed idiot. Number three, if you come up behind me flashing your light, yeah, I'm going to move over. But at the same time, I'm going to call the damn law, give them your license plate number, and then I'm going to have you arrested for harassment.
Well, wait a minute.
Also,
why would you do that? I just
also, sir, I'm going to have you arrested for.
Think of something. See, you're making, now you're making it up.
No,
you're
no,
making
I'm
it up.
Not making it up.
Well,
no, I'm not. Making
I'd like
it
to
up.
Say simply
no,
that I'm not trying to be hostile.
Sir, excuse me. I'm talking.
I'm trying to
I'm
remind
talking,
you
sir.
Not to be dopey.
No, you're
not,
not
to be
going
stupid.
To remind me of nothing, sir.
What if you are you telling me
you're
if you look
not,
at my bicep?
I
you're
am
not
going,
going
to have you arrested for
arrested for what? Flashing my muscle?
No,
because
arrested for harassment.
Oh, also, Jim, once you see my forearm and bicep.
Also for aggravated, attempted aggravated assault.
Well,
I
now you've been watching
do.
Too much Rock and Files.
No, I am not.
All right, hold on. Dr. Sadler, what do you mean one look at your muscle?
Well, is he really going to mess with me when he sees my upper body?
Sir, I would take you down in 2 seconds.
Well, all right, let's go this, let's say this. I'm trying to remind you not to be stupid.
Three,
what's wrong
no,
with
I'm
that?
I'm going to finish what I'm going to say.
Well,
sir.
You're not saying. You go,
Yes, I am saying.
You can't remember what you're saying.
Yes, I can.
What if I did this?
Why don't you just shut up and listen? That's
all right,
not
we've
going to affect me
yeah,
for nothing.
We've heard the horn. Go
number
ahead, Jim.
Number three, you do know what aggravated or attempted aggravated assault is, right?
Yeah. Do you know what a suplex
right.
is?
Do I know what?
Do you know what a suplex is?
Yeah, I know what it is.
All right.
That suplex or you or nobody else is going to scare me. Number three, you mentioned a water gun. You pull that water gun out, I'm going to put your ass in the bind.
That's the truth. I mean, a police officer will tell you.
I'm simply saying, you know what a pile driver is,
no,
right?
We got all the wrestling moves, all right? I want to jump in.
You're not going to tell me nothing.
You're the
sir.
First person, Jim, I've ever met that's gotten angry by being high-beamed. Most people are appreciative of the fact of being
no,
reminded.
No, I'm not appreciative of it because it blinds people and it could cause a fatal accident, sir.
Well, sir, all you have to do is move
have
over.
Have you ever seen a car run up underneath the back of a tractor and trailer?
Turn the horn off, please, doctor.
Have I'm you, sorry.
Have you ever seen anybody,
all right.
so-called doctor, run up underneath the back of a tractor and trailer?
You mean on foot?
No, you
on
haven't.
Foot I have, because...
Well, hold on for a minute, Jim. What do you mean on foot? 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler says that when you're in the fast lane, if someone's blocking you, go up behind them and hit the high beams. This could be dangerous. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back with Dr. Jim Sadler. He's a clinical psychologist on what to do with people who won't get out of the fast lane, who are blocking your way, people who are going too slow. The high beams is one technique, doctor. You also talked about with handicapped people using the horn. Now, you write in your book about one handicapped woman who was very startled. She actually rear-ended somebody in front of her, but it gave her confidence.
Very good story, Phil, about a young lady who we found she had handicap tags on and was out here on the Harbor Freeway, and she was going along in the slow lane very timidly, and we got right up behind her and we gave her what we call ahoy matey, or what you call salutation to the handicap, the four blasts of the horn, and she was so startled that she ran right up right against a milk truck that was behind her. She rear-ended the guy, but it gave her the confidence to know that even though her legs don't work too good, she still can be...
Doctor, just out of curiosity, you're an educated man, right?
Yes.
Where did you get your degree? I'm just curious.
I did my undergraduate work at UCLA. I got my degree from the University of Virginia.
In
psychoanalysis and psychiatry.
Because she don't walk too good.
Well, So what are you saying?
Well, I mean, your language, the grammar.
Well, I'm simply saying, you know, I worked during the day. I took a lot of night classes. I don't know whether that's what you're talking about.
I'm just curious. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. All right, so you chased a handicapped woman.
We didn't chase her. We got up behind her. Here's what happens. I spot a handicapped person, and we're driving right now. I'm with Billy Reynolds, who is from the halfway house that I consult at for a lot of the kids who have narcotics problems. Billy's driving a van right now. There's a right there. We just spotted one. Billy will give her the four blasts. Go ahead. Now she's looking around very, very... Hold on, Billy. Don't do it too quickly. All right, the next one. She's looking right now. She's scared, but she's starting to speed up. Now the final one. Get up behind her. Get up further behind her. Get up behind her. And now we're up behind her, and she's moving. She's doing a good... I'm looking at the speedometer right now. She's doing a good 65 now. When we first spotted her, she was doing 40. And there she goes. And I have all the confidence in the world that a lot of these handicapped or physically messed up, keep your eye out for the cops, too. And keep them out for the caps.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Steve, go ahead.
Hi, Doctor. I was just calling to tell you that I used to have the same
philosophy
as you do.
I got
on driving and honking and flashing the high beams to get somebody out of the fast lane.
Right.
But that happened to me last year. I was riding somebody late at night, and it did piss them off. They slammed their brakes on, and I broke my neck in a car accident because of it.
Well, you didn't react fast enough. So you've got to.
I didn't react fast enough.
Right. You've got to be ready for those brake lights, because there's always going to be some smartass who's going to hit the brakes.
Well, look, it's just a touchy subject. You calling people cripples and everything because that's not a very safe procedure to be using. And you know, I mean, my penis doesn't even work now.
Well, I probably never worked, though. So what do you, you know...
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, he said his penis doesn't work. When did it ever...
What is that supposed to mean?
Jesus. Look, there's no greatest... Look at this. There's no...
Would you lay off the horn?
Because we're looking at another one with the bump... See, she's got the handicap tag. Go, 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 go. I got Billy with me. Go, go. Get up behind her. Get up behind her. Get up behind her. That's it. Up closer, closer, closer. Just about touching bumpers now, Phil. Closer, closer. Now she sees us. Now watch this. Now she's moving. Now that got her moving. See, people don't know what they're capable of. Closer, closer, closer. Get up closer. People don't know what they're capable of. Closer. No. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Closer. Get up closer. She doesn't know what she's capable of. Look at the confidence that woman has now. That we have used the technique in trying to give her the confidence that she needs.
And you know what? When that man talks about his handicap, don't throw out the jokes.
I'm not...
Well, he says his penis didn't work. You said, when did it ever?
Well, I just...
David, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi. I'm a professional driver, and I have a couple comments for this gentleman here. And I'm using that term very loosely. I have been driving out here on this highway, and I have seen people such as yourself high beaming and honking at people in the slow lane. And I'll tell you what, I have come close. I've had so many people cut me off, and you don't know what kind of scary feeling it is to have an 80,000-pound vehicle going 62 miles an hour, look down, see an idiot like you scare somebody with a child in the car and run off in front of me. I have nearly run over them, and you know what? I would have to live with killing
a child. No, I'm not in front of you. I'm not in front of you. I'm behind somebody else. I don't get in front of you.
No, you're smart enough not to get in front of me.
Why would I? Because I'm talking about their being in front of me in the fast lane.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to get them. What are you talking about? And
I'm
get behind one of these cripples.
Flashing somebody and scaring them, and them not even paying attention to where they're going and cutting over the other lane to get out of your way.
Look at you taking it personally. Look at you taking it personally. It's got nothing to do with you.
It definitely has something to do with me as a driver on this road, as a big truck driver who does not have the ability to stop as fast as you in a small car, regardless of what kind of reaction time I have.
It's got nothing to do.
Chop in a vehicle, nearly get run over by a truck because you are too damn stupid to pull around them or wait for them to clear that car, you have to honk your horn and cause them to get startled and pull over in front of a truck because they're scared that you're going to rear-end them.
Well, don't you have brakes on that thing?
Have you ever tried to stop an 80,000-pound vehicle?
Look, as a matter of fact, yes, I have. Yes, I have.
You have?
Yeah.
You cannot stop it.
I was not successful. You're right. I was not successful.
Okay, then. So what makes you think that if you're up behind somebody with a child in that car, they pull over to fit a big
truck because what's the child got to do with it? Is the child driving?
The child is a passenger in that vehicle.
Oh.
Don't be a smartass. You know what he's talking about. There's a child in the car.
He keeps saying
Could you live with yourself as a doctor or a human being if you did that to a handicapped person or a regular person, they pulled over and you saw them get cremated by a truck and nobody survived that vehicle? Could you then go about writing your book about how that was had created confidence in that driver up until the point that semi hit them?
Well, I would say this to what the gentleman's saying. If you're already physically, all handicapped up and you get hit by a truck, how much worse can it get?
Dead is pretty damn bad.
Well, dead's bad, yes. Dead's bad. But I would say that person went to their grave, and when you say cremated, they went to their, they were burned up. Being courageous, yes. And that reminds me of the joke of someone who died in the explosion of a gasoline tanker on the 101 over here. I said, I bet that really burned him up. And I get a lot of laughs.
Okay, look, doctor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but number one, you are an insult to your profession. You're an insult to the human race. And whoever gave you that degree ought to have their license pulled for giving you a damn doctorate.
Well, sir, I'm glad that you at least will give the book a read. I appreciate it.
No, I will not buy your book. In fact, I will tell everybody I know not to buy your book, and I will start boycotting the bookstores that have your book.
All right, well, while you're yelling at me, I'm helping out a handicapped woman. Look at this. Go, go, go. Get up behind her. Look at that.
Well, you remember how well you're helping her out when she gets hit by somebody or somebody else.
Just keep leaning on the horn till she moves.
All right, thanks a lot, David.
Just keep leaning on the horn till she moves.
What are you doing?
She's not moving, and I want Eddie to lean on the horn till she moves. Get over! See, she won't get over. Get over, you stupid! You bitch! See? And there she goes. She's not. No, she didn't. She thinks she's... Where does she get her balls? I'm just going to keep leaning on the horn until... I'm leaning on the horn until she gets moved over. There, she finally moved over.
That's insanity what you just did to that woman.
Well, she moved over, and not only that, she got up to about, what was the register? She got up to 65 miles an hour.
All right, let me go over to Marty. Marty, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Marty.
Hey, doctor. I wish the hell you were driving behind me and give me your horn like that. I pick up steam.
That sounds interesting.
I'd have you on my back bumper, and I would jam my brakes and have you rear-end me. I don't know where you got your license or how long you've been driving.
What are you doing in the fast lane not moving over? You're supposed to move over for faster traffic.
How fast do you want to drive?
Marty, you are not allowed to use that lane as a cruising lane. That's a passing lane only. So you must get over for faster traffic.
Fine, but if I'm driving 65, 70, or 75 miles an hour...
What, are you a cop? You're going to start regulating the speed on the freeway? Where are you from?
From Florida.
Now, where are you from originally?
Canada.
Yeah, just as I thought. You clowns wouldn't know a car from an ox cart from a...
Okay.
Hey, idiot, I could drive circles. I could drive circles around you backwards.
All right, hey, Marty,
Marty, see the size of my arms...
Marty, stay on
you'll
the line.
You'll also move over.
Marty,
I don't have to... antagonize anybody because I'm also a wrestler.
All right, Marty, stay on the line and let me, because Lloyd's on the line here. Lloyd, you're on with Marty and with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Yes, sir. I've been listening to this guy talking about coming up behind, and if he came up behind me, I've got a Winnebago that I take up to my daughter-in-law's in Portland, Oregon twice a year. I'd hit the brakes, and I would love to look at what's left of him when they pulled him out of the car.
First of all, with a Winnebago, you shouldn't be driving 75 miles an hour.
What are you? Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Marty.
Well, I want to talk to the doctor.
I'm right here.
All right.
Go ahead.
Let me say to both of you gentlemen, if you jammed your brakes on me, I'd put you in a human torture rack. You guys would both be torches. You'd light up the night.
Oh, is that right? You know, if you were here in front of me right now...
Please, I have big arms. I'm ripped. Do you know what it's...
Your arms don't bother anybody, because I've also got big arms.
You said...
I wrestled for 14 years.
Where?
In Canada.
Oh, that's small potatoes.
Potatoes. Where are you from, by the way?
I come from Houston, Texas. The land.
You're a big potato.
Big time wrestlers down in Houston. And listen, I don't want to talk about a lot of homosexuals.
Wrestling is nothing.
You know what the Boston Crab?
I did it for many years. I've got big arms.
Do you?
And that doesn't impress anybody.
Do you know?
You have to be a little bit human with common sense when you're driving a car.
What's a Boston Crab?
You don't
crab?
Come up behind anybody and blow the horn the way you do.
Well, wait a minute. If she is a handicapped cripple, and
then
she
just flash your lights at her,
right?
And don't drive on her. Don't drive on her ass with your. With your high beams on.
Hey,
if you did that to me, I would jam my power brakes so fast that you'd have to hit me.
I'm too quick. I'm way too quick for that.
Well, I'm a little older than you, and I've been driving for 55 years. Right. I have never, ever had a fender bender.
Let me say that I've pulled the Marines out of the Chosin Reservoir, and I'd be more than happy to pull this piece of turd out of his flattened turd car.
Well,
both of you guys talk right
around you backwards if I have to.
Do you know what a slingshot power bomb is? No, you don't. I do. I was a former wrestler.
Well, can we wait a minute?
What does wrestling have to do with it?
Yeah, exactly.
When someone gets a look at my guns, they're not going to be. They'll get out of the way.
You know, you are talking like a child. We are not racing, and we are not trying to impress anybody.
That's
with
right.
The size of our arms or how fast you can drive.
The only size I care about is what I got swinging between my...
All right, can we hang up on that man, please? Because I...
Well,
the man's an idiot.
Flying corkscrew clothesline is what I'm going to lay on any lady, crippled or otherwise, that tries to keep me from my appointed rounds.
No, you have to get
brother.
The police department
right.
to follow people like this. And give them driving lessons, or tell them how to drive.
So
but hell, you don't come up behind anybody with your high beams, blowing horns, because I don't go for that.
Look at that. See? That wouldn't get you to move over, huh?
If I have to move over, I will move over. But
well,
I do it like a gentleman.
Then when
not
I do that,
an idiot.
When I do this...
This will only create an accident.
That means you have to move over. Right here. Get over. Not only would I high beam you, I'd hold my pinky finger out, and then I'd say, oh, yeah, just like the Macho Man.
All right, get out of here.
Your attitude is terrible.
Marty, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
So you wrestle...
The man, I can still call him an idiot with his big arms.
Well, this is true. What was your name that you wrestled under in Canada, just out of curiosity?
Big Man Marty. This was,
I know that's bull crap because he had to think about...
Will you get out of here?
What about the palm thruster?
1-800-449-86... Big Man Marty, huh? Wait, that was my name when I wrestled. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
All right, that last caller couldn't tell whether you were me or I was you. He kept, every time I talked, he thought I was you, and every time you talked, he thought you were me.
Yeah, well, that happens.
All right, well, thanks.
Jesus.
All right, well, I just want to point that out. Phil Hendry Show, by the way, the voice of Lloyd and the voice of Dr. Jim Sadler were performed by me, the callers, people who believe those to be real people. Why do I do that kind of a radio show? Well, there are a lot of reasons. I'll just give you a hint. The title of our CD coming out this year, our 2003, is The Death of Talk Radio. We're trying to hasten the death of talk radio by showing just how stupid all of us, including me, are. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up next hour, Eric Hester will be our special guest. He calls himself a child's best friend. He reminds parents that while they're having a great deal of joy and happiness with the birth of their child, it won't be long before they are going to be wishing the kid was dead. And he tries to give them the other side of the joy of the birth of a child. That's coming up on the Phil Hendry Show, our number 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Now, want to plug our website, philhenryshow.com. There's been a lot of stuff going on around our website, and it's been picked up by the press, and that is that we are offering these free weekends. This weekend is going to be, is this weekend a free weekend too? No, last weekend was a free weekend. Okay. No more free weekends. But we offered the last two weekends for free. That is, you don't have to have a subscription to our website to show you the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of radio comedy that we've got on the website, and to also offer you the opportunity to download. That's right, download some of it. You see the big fight, the big battle that's going on with the record company, and you can't download this and download that. We don't give a crap. Just get the subscription to our website. All we care about is that $6.95 a month, baby. You give us that, and I don't care what you do, man. You can sit in your bed all day and, you know, contemplate the lint in your navel, whatever you want to do. $6.95 a month for the subscription. You can download and own The Phil Henry Show. Download and own The Phil Henry Show. All you got to do, go to www.philhenryshow.com, follow all the directions, whatever the hell they ask you to do, and then just do it. All right, coming up, Eric Hester, you're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Eric Hester is with us, the child's best friend, as he's called. Eric, the occasion of a newborn baby is said to be the happiest moment in a couple's life. Don't you agree with that?
Phil, I don't think that there's any doubt that a newborn baby is something to be welcomed into a family. My job, as I see it, is to confront what I see as a wall of ignorance. There are a lot of young parents who put up a wall of ignorance to show that they're overjoyed with the birth of a child when there are some other things to think about, and I counsel them.
What could you possibly be counseling a new couple, I shouldn't say new couple, but a married couple with a new baby? What are you talking to them about other than the health of the child?
We do talk about the health of the child, but what I do is, as the child's best friend, which is what I have been calling myself since 1997, and that is copyrighted, and we've had an awful lot of imitators, but I am the child's best friend. And why I call myself that is that I counsel parents on statistics that they may not want to know about.
Such as?
Well, we counsel them on statistics about kidnapping, violent death that visits many of our young people, the infant mortality rate, including the SIDS mortality rate, cost of education in raising a child, the possibility of educational disability later on, statistics on drug use among the young, the possibility of child molestation, and Phil, there is one more that I have to bring up, and that is the very real possibility that they, the parents themselves, may choose to sexually abuse their own children.
Now, you bring this up to a brand new couple with a new baby?
Phil, public records, the newspapers indicate this is something they need to know. This and
what I want to excuse me, Eric. I want to ask something. Do I really need to hear from you after my child is born that I may sexually? By the way, Phil, just so you know, you may choose to sexually abuse your child.
Phil, I'm the child's best friend. What? How you feel doesn't really interest me. It's how best we can protect the child. And I think a lot of young people in this country who are new parents are sort of intoxicated with this new baby consciousness. We have a new baby, and she's so beautiful, and you see people bringing these pictures into work, and I have friends of mine who say, you know, somebody else had a baby and they brought pictures into work, and you just want to tell them the truth. You just want to tell them the truth.
All right, where do you get the information that there's been a newborn? How do you confront the parents, or how do you talk to the parents? What exactly is your method?
Well, first of all, Phil, we don't confront. We do talk to them. Public records, newspapers, these are the best ways for me to find out. Also, random visits to hospitals and going into the maternity wards and finding out who are the new babies and who are the new couples.
Well, where you say you counsel them?
Yeah, there's a lot of places where you find new mothers and new parents, a park, toy stores. I like to sit down and present to them the alternative side of the joy of parenting and show them the risks that they pose to their own child and that may occur.
Now, there was a news story involving you going up to women in supermarkets.
There might have been an item last year. I was counseling women in a Ralph's supermarket in Hollywood, yeah.
All right, you say that they had babies in strollers, is that right?
Well, and I hand what I call them the cold truth, and I admonish them. Please never molest your own child. This is so important.
I just want to know, you're walking up to women in supermarkets and saying don't molest your own child?
What I'm telling you is that all I'm doing is trying to help these kids. I don't care about the parents. I'm trying to help the kids. New parents need this reminder. And if I can do that, and I'll give the statistics, remember, if you have a newborn, there's every chance the child could be kidnapped, injured. It's very costly and time-consuming. Most of all, there's the possibility that you could either molest or murder your own child. And I'm there to remind you not to do that. That's why I call myself Eric Hester, a child's best friend. And how the parents feel about it is of no interest to me.
All right, well, then you're confronting these people and giving them all of this news.
I'm giving them the other side.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You've just had a new baby. You're in love with this little bundle of joy. You take the child in a stroller someplace. Mr. Hester walks up to you and says, can I show you some statistics on kidnapping, murder, molestation, and all of this? This is what is happening out there. 1-800-449-8686, at least with you, Eric. Are you the only person doing this work?
I am the only person doing this. I am the child's best friend. That's how I've been billing myself since 1997, and that name is copyrighted.
How did all of this start for you?
Phil, this started about 15 years ago. I noticed how overly happy young couples were getting when they had their first baby. And I found myself worrying about the child being raised by these two, in some cases these two grinning idiots who didn't seem to want to confront the very real possibility that once the initial joy of having the child wore off, they would probably be tempted to kill the child or molest it or something like that.
Are you a father?
I was a father. I was.
You were.
I was a young father, and my son was three. And I can tell you a story if you'd like.
Go ahead.
My son was three. We were at a hotel swimming pool, and this is where I formulated my philosophy. My son was 3 years old. We were at a hotel swimming pool, and I noticed that my son Gary had fallen into the pool. Now, the glow of having this newborn had worn off, and the reality of raising him was kicking in. So that when I saw that he had fallen in the pool, I had the thought that just about every father has. I thought, now's my chance. And I turned my back to him and continued talking to who I was talking to, thinking no one else saw, and perhaps he would drown. Now, this is a horrible thing to admit to right now. And fortunately for Gary, a busboy who worked in the hotel saw him and pulled him out. But it was then that I realized the other side of the joy of being a father, and that is the very common feeling that every father and mother has, that sooner or later you want to kill this child. So when I see a new couple with a brand new baby, I love to go up to them and say to them, are you aware of the odds of this child even making it to his sixth birthday? Have you seen these crash photographs? This is a horrible thing to have to do to you, to a young couple, but I want them to know the other side of the story on having a child.
Is this necessary? Is it necessary to go up to a couple that has a new baby and show them crash photographs involving children, statistics on child molestation, and then to eventually say to them, and you know, you may be tempted to kill your own child? Is it necessary?
Phil, is child abuse necessary? Do you like it? Do I like it? No, I don't. I try to do everything I can to head it off. And the best way to head it off is to go right to the source of the problem, to the parents themselves, and look them in the eye and say to them, I don't know you, but I'm Eric Hester. I'm a child's best friend. And as such, I'm a better friend to your child than you'll ever be. And if I find out that you've molested this kid, there won't be a rock you can crawl under. There won't be a tree you can hide behind.
Well, you're confronting parents of the child itself. You're telling the parent that you're a better friend of their kid than they are?
Phil, I'm telling you, yes, Eric Hester. And it's good for the couple to scrutinize each other. Every young mother shouldn't be blind to the fact that her husband may be sexually attracted to his own child.
This is sick and twisted, man. I mean, this is just...
It's sick and twisted, Phil, only insofar... I'm Eric Hester, a child's best friend. I automatically am a better friend to your child than you are as the parent. And that's what I need everyone to understand.
So you're a better you're a friend to my kids?
I'm much better than you. You may want to molest them.
Well, how do I know you wouldn't want to molest them?
Well, Phil, the odds are that the parent will. That's the statistics.
All right, 1-800, this is the most bizarre thing.
Well, that's why they call me the child's best friend. I'm very different, but I get results. And I put the fear of Christ into a lot of parents.
1-800-449-8686. His name is Eric Hester. He is a child. He calls himself the child's best friend. He says he puts the fear of Christ into every parent because he goes up to new parents with statistics on kidnapping, statistics on injury, statistics on how much it costs to raise a child, statistics on disease, statistics on disability, statistics on automobile accidents and molestation. And then he says, and by the way, there's a possibility that you may want to molest your own child. And if you do, there won't be a rock you'll be able to hide under. So this guy's coming up to total strangers and threatening them. 1-800-449-8686. Maybe this is what we need to turn around this culture of violence against kids. Just some guy who's completely disconnected from parents and is just looking out for the kids. Maybe he's like the special prosecutor for kids. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Eric Hester is with us. Mr. Hester, you chased a couple of women out of a store?
No, I did not, Phil. They ran, or they were indicating to the store manager they didn't want to talk to me. And that proves to me something that I think is very important, that what I'm saying is striking a raw nerve. When I tell new parents that their kid could get kidnapped or killed, or that they may start molesting their own child, or they might even want to kill their own child, they don't like hearing the truth. And when they try to get away from me, or they try to tell the store manager to have me removed, I know I've got them. I know I've got them. And so I said to the press, when they asked me about this, I said, this shows me that I'm doing my job.
You're doing your job in protecting children by going up to brand new parents and warning them they better not molest their own kid.
I'm simply telling them you better feed this kid, you better not molest it, you better not kill it, you better do everything you can to help this child, or there won't be a river you can ford, not a country you can hide in. I'll find you, and when I do, I'll use my bare hands.
To do what?
Again, these are just figures of speech. But I'm trying to get these parents to understand, once you have a new child, you have a responsibility to that child. And Eric Hester, the child's best friend, is watching.
1-800-449-8686. You're a better friend to the children than the parents themselves. 1-800-449-8686. Stephen, go ahead.
Hi, this is Stephen. I'm out of Clearwater, Florida. How are you doing tonight?
Go ahead.
I've got a comment. This guy's sitting here projecting. I'm a parent of three. Just a point. His comment.
Three years of age or three children?
Yeah, I have three children, and when he commented that he was at a pool and his three-year-old fell in, he actually says his back. He's trying to project that he used the word, we all as parents. I've had that thought some time.
I can't understand this guy. Hey, are you?
Hey.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, your car phone sounds like crap. Hold on. Did you want to have a comment? Did you hear what that guy said?
I think what he was trying to say is he was trying to say that he doesn't believe that other parents feel that way. That when I saw my son Gary fall into a swimming pool, and I said to myself, this could be my big break. That other parents don't feel that way. But I can assure you, Phil, I'm not an aberrant person. I'm not a mentally unsound person. I understand my son, and I understand myself as a father. And when I saw my boy fall into that swimming pool and thought to myself, if he drowns, it would be sad, but I'd be free. And
well, you turned your back on that kid.
I did. Because I felt like this was my shot. I realized I was wrong after the busboy came out of the back of the kitchen and saw Gary floating there and pulled him out. And then I realized, my God, this is dangerous. Other fathers have got to be stopped, because I know if I do it, other fathers will do it.
Other fathers would let their kids drown.
Absolutely.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Eric Hester with us, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Hester, you say that you are confronting couples. You are walking up to them in hospitals. You're going up to them in supermarkets. You're going up to them in toy stores when you see them with a small child, and you're telling them that, or reminding them that they better treat that child well.
Yes, I am, Phil, and it needs to be done.
Well, what if these are good parents and loving parents?
I don't care what they are or who they are, and I don't care what they think of themselves. What they think of themselves isn't important. It's what Eric Hester, the child's best friend, thinks of them, and ultimately what their own child thinks of them. So, and there are certain signs that a young, happy parent may want to harm their child. The child may be walking too early. The woman doesn't change the child's diaper every hour. All of a sudden, you get this bad feeling that that child is in danger, that woman that calls herself the kid's mother, could very well, within the next several hours, throw that child under the wheels of a moving truck, throw the child from a moving car, or do something else. So I feel that when I walk up to a woman and I say, don't you dare abuse this child, or I'll
hunt you down in every city and every...
Yes, I do.
Meaning what? Meaning you're not going to kill them?
No, it's up to them. Because, like I say, when I finally find them, it's up to them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. His name is Eric Hester. He has written a book, and it is called Eric Hester, the Child's Best Friend. The occasion of a newborn baby is said to be the happiest moment in a couple's life, but he goes up to these kids, and he goes up to these parents to tell them, you know what, you probably are going to molest or try to kill your kid. Don't you dare do it.
I'm looking out for these children, Phil, because I'm their best friend.
All right, here is Rick. Go ahead, Rick. Rick?
Yeah, Mr. Hester, I think you're a danger to people. Anybody who would, quite frankly, even contemplate letting their son drown knowingly can't claim to be a friend to any child.
Well, that's exactly right. So what I'm saying is, if I thought that way, every father will probably think that way at some time.
No, I think you're a special case, because I've been a father and never thought that.
You never got angry at your kids?
I'm sorry, what?
You never got angry at your kids?
Do I get angry at them?
Yes,
I get angry.
All right,
at them.
Well, it's a very small step between that and throwing them out of a moving car.
There is nobody that would lay a hand on my son.
But here is what I would say
daughter,
to you, Rick. I would just go up to your wife or to you and simply remind you, don't hurt this kid or you'll have me to deal with.
Well, what does that mean?
If you came up to me in a store and you said, don't hurt this kid or I'll hurt you.
Yes.
You might have a problem, because I'm liable to come right back at you.
Oh, what are you going to hit me for? Because I'm protecting your kid?
Walking up to people, intruding in their lives, forcing yourself in them, telling them they're bad people.
You never wanted to flip a kid or
a bad person just because they've had a child. I'm just reminding you. You sound like the lunatic.
I'm reminding you. You never wanted to flip a child 360 degrees on a swing set. Never?
No.
Well, I can tell you that that's unusual. Many young fathers get angry, and when they're pushing their child on a swing set, they want to push him so hard, he just spins around and around and around until the chain gets wrapped up top.
Wait
a minute, I want to jump in. I got to jump in here.
I don't agree with you. People like that belong in jail, but I think you are borderline jail.
Well, what I'm saying to you, Rick, is this. You've never wanted to bounce them off a teeter-totter.
No.
When they've been sitting on it, you didn't want to hit the other side, so they go springing off.
Now, wait a minute. I want to jump in here. You're walking up to parents and saying, that's like a threat.
Well, I'm doing it on behalf of the children. I've seen a lot of parents pick up a pacifier that the child has dropped and stuck it in their mouths, and then they gave it back to the baby. Good God. What is that?
What is what? They're cleaning it off.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that's the first step toward molestation.
I think you're crazy.
All right. Thank you.
I think you belong in a jail cell.
Well, just don't kill. Rick,
you don't hurt any children.
Don't kill any kids, Rick, or I'm coming after you.
All right,
1-800. I'll come at you.
1-800-449-8686. Mr. Eric Hester says, "You new parents out there, don't you molest your child, or you're going to have him to deal with. He'll get right up into your face." 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Hester, when you walk up, Phil Hendry with Eric Hester, the child's best friend, self-described. When you walk up to a parent, now you walked up to a woman last summer in San Francisco in Ghirardelli Square, and you put your finger to her chest, and the police said that you said to her, she claims that you said to her...
And again, Phil, remember, this is what she claims.
All right. She claims you said to her, you better treat that baby good or the problem you're going to have for me will be bigger than these new breasts of yours. Did you say that?
Yes, I did, because here is...
Why? Why would you do that?
Well, I'll do anything it takes to protect children. Here is a woman who's got a brand new baby, and she went out and had a breast enhancement. I don't approve of that. I don't think that that shows the best of intentions. And Eric Hester, the child's best friend, is going to be there. And so I told her, and I told that little mousy accountant husband of hers, if I hear about this kid being hurt, I'm going to come back and...
Did you threaten to rape her?
No. What I said was, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to have your wife cook me breakfast. Now, that is not threatening to rape.
Well, that certainly is some kind of a threat to a man's manhood, I'll tell you that.
Well, if it is, then I question the man's manhood in the first place.
If you hurt this child, I'm going to come back and have your wife cook me breakfast. Here is Ken. Go ahead, Ken. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
This man that's on the radio, he's a lunatic. I mean, I had my first child when I was 17 years old. I got a 24-year-old daughter. I got a 21-year-old son and a 20-year-old daughter.
Well, that's important to know. At 17, you'd be more inclined to smack the kid around, throw him against a wall or whatever.
No, never. I mean, he's trying to judge people by his standards. I mean, sure, there's a lot of people in this world. I drive a truck for a living, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes.
I deal with all kinds of people every day. 75% of the people out here are good parents. I don't care whether they're young or they're old. And there's 25% of the people out here that is lunatic.
Well,
just like this man, he's crazy.
Well, Ken, you don't really know that. Here's something else. You've never looked at a kid, and this is totally normal. I had my son Gary in the workshop with me, and I had a hammer in my hand. And I thought how simple it would be just to use that hammer on the kid. It's perfectly normal. But
no,
it ain't.
That ain't normal.
It's perfectly normal to pick up a belt and beat his ass if he did something wrong. Not killing, That's a sick individual.
Wait, you can't tell me you never wanted to jump in on your child's tetherball game and hit the ball so hard it made him fall over.
No,
I have not. No. I have never even had that cross my mind.
Mr. Hester,
my child.
Mr. Hester, the thoughts you are having, I have to tell you, are aberrant. These are not thoughts that fathers, healthy fathers, have.
And I would dare to disagree with you, gentlemen. I think it's very healthy.
I tell you this,
doctors tell us.
I tell you this much. If you would have come up to me and told me that, I would have thought you some lunatic off the street, and I would have probably knocked the piss out of you. Right then and there.
Why would you hit me for warning you not to hurt your child?
Because it ain't none of your business, and you would act like an idiot coming up to me. I mean, what? Don't hurt your child because I'm going to hurt you? No, I think this guy's a nut.
Well, all I'm saying, Ken, is I want to make sure that you don't succumb to the temptation of throwing your child out the window of the car some night on the freeway. Which is a perfectly
That's never even crossed my mind to hurt my child.
Well, my research has shown that the majority of fathers want to smother their children with a pillow on their birthday. And what we're
I don't know where you're studying, but you need to get a new book.
Well,
you're living with cults. That's what people want to do in cults.
Are you
denying?
You're crazy.
Well, you're off in left field. I can't believe somebody would even buy your book.
All right. Sir, let me tell you something. I've done research where fathers have reported they want to throw a kickball at their daughter while they're skipping rope just to knock them down. Now, this is a normal thing. And
what do you mean throw a kickball at your daughter?
It's normal in your world. It ain't in most people's world.
Not on this planet. Hey, Ken, thanks for calling.
All right.
So, in other words, you're calling me crazy.
Well, yes, sir, I am.
So you never thought about blowing cigarette smoke into your newborn baby's face?
Good God Almighty, no. And if I even saw anybody do it, I wouldn't need you, the child's best friend. What are you going to do? You going to swoop it out of the sky with a cape? How am I, what, I'm going to call you? I don't need you to do that.
You know, Phil, you're in denial.
I've never had any thoughts like that, to throw a kickball at my daughter while she's jumping rope to make her fall over, to hit a tetherball so hard it knocks the kid down, to throw a kid out of the car window, to look at a hammer and look at my kid and think it'll be alleviated, to watch him floating in a pool. This is all insanity. You're saying these are normal...
I'm saying that at least once in a man's life, Phil, I can guarantee you were left in a pool to drown when you were a kid. Did I hit a nerve?
No, you didn't hit a nerve.
Well, then what happened there? There was some silence, Phil. What happened?
My sister fell into a pool, and I had to get her out.
How old were you?
I was old enough.
How old were you?
I was 5.
You had to save your sister from drowning when you were 5 because no adult came to your rescue, did they?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they saw...
Look at you making the excuses. Making the excuses.
I still don't think that that's a normal thing to think.
Even though your sister almost drowned, and as a 5-year-old, you had to help her out. Do you remember who threw her in the pool?
Nobody threw her in the pool.
Come on, Phil.
My dad was trying to teach us how to swim.
Your father threw her in the pool.
He was trying to teach us how to swim. 1-800-449-8686. Jared, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Jared.
Hey, listen, I just got to make a point. Was it Phil, or who am I talking to?
Oh, this is Eric Hester.
I'm Phil, and Eric Hester is on the phone.
Okay, Eric Hester. You know, the comment you made about the pacifier is ridiculous. The fact that, you know, my daughter's 6 years old, she doesn't even use a pacifier, but if it came down to my daughter, for me to clean that pacifier up, I'm going to put it in my mouth and in her mouth. That doesn't have anything to do with molestation.
Now, why would you want to...
I don't understand where that comes from.
I don't
believe you. It seems like you're out for publicity for your book.
Well, this sounds
pretty
weird.
The more people that hate you, the more people are going to buy your book, I guess. I don't get it.
No. Why do you want to lick your daughter's pacifier? That sounds pretty freaky.
No.
He's licking it off.
Now, did I ever say I wanted to lick it? No, I didn't. What I said was, if it was necessary to clean that pacifier off, I will put it in my mouth and then put it in hers. That's what I said.
I'm just saying, Jared.
You use a pacifier, so that's irrelevant.
I'm just saying.
You're making very broad statements and gathering everyone together. No, every man doesn't want to smother his kid. I agree with the last call. You are a lunatic.
I think it's pretty freaky to have to look at you with a pacifier in your mouth. I think that's pretty sick.
I can hear you. I'm sorry. Take it.
Okay, your phone is breaking up, man. Let me go over to Marty. Marty, go ahead. Marty?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
I was just, you know, this is kind of like a Saturday Night Live skit. I've never heard anybody as wacky as this fella. I mean, who's Gary's best friend? If this Bill is every other child's best friend, who's the best friend to his son Gary?
Well, I learned from Gary. I learned. But everybody's knocking me, and yet that last guy said he wants to sit around with a pacifier in his face.
Well, I'd sure rather see him suck on his kid's pacifier than beat him over the head with a hammer.
Of course, of course. But that's a perfectly normal... I mean, I can tell just talking to you, Marty, you took a few softballs off the head, didn't you? That were thrown by your father. And playing dodgeball with a baseball is something every father wants to do to a kid. Because he really wants to nail him.
Okay, man.
Phil, I remember one time Gary, my son, was standing behind my car backing out of the driveway, backing out of the garage, and oh, I wanted to gun it. Oh! Because all my problems would be over. One-way ticket to paradise. You know what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah, man, I hear you. But they grow up, and guess what? Your life is just never going to be the same, man. You just have to be. You got to be a mom. You got to be a dad. In other words, we don't want no Scott Petersons around here. Dig it. 1-800-449-8686. That was Eric Hester. His book is called Eric Hester, The Child's Best Friend. It's self-published, and he still says he's looking for distributors. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The voice of Eric Hester was me, and the people who called, real people, unprompted, unpaid, no ringers, baby, real folks who thought that fake voice was a real person they were talking to. Eric Hester, remember, the child's best friend. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray was on the program the other day talking about how some women just know how to dance. She dances very well. She's very sexy. She's very alluring. And she was dirty dancing with this woman's husband. But you can't blame him. Why, the woman had had a hysterectomy and obviously wasn't a real woman for her husband. It was really disgusting and vile as only Margaret can be. And here it is.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Let me tell you. You don't have to show that you're a good dancer by messing around with someone else's husband.
I'm not messing around. I'm dancing.
You're a joke.
Right. Hey, Ingrid, when you dance, is there such a thing as having a best move?
I believe all the moves are good.
Wait, she's not a dancer. She's not a dancer. Otherwise, she'd know what I'm talking about.
Oh, get out of here.
You know what? I'll give you a dance lesson.
You know what you do?
You try
to do a sexual move on a man. And, you know, you're trying to embarrass that woman in front of a whole bunch of people.
Have you ever pretended to be...
Not just her husband, but a whole bunch of people.
She called me a C in front of Diane Sawyer.
She should have slapped you, too.
Well, I'm sure you would have, coming from your Cuban background.
No, honey, I'm not Cuban. I'm Colombian. You know, I would have did something else.
In the name of God, it's the difference. Have you ever pretended to be a Bengal tiger and crawled down along the floor?
No, I think you're in need of another thing. I think you should go back to what you used to do.
I crawled
I think you're
the
in the wrong
like a
field.
Tiger, and I raised one leg as if to spray my scent on their leg.
Oh, you're pathetic.
You've never done
you're
that.
You're pathetic.
Oh, my
you
God.
You need counseling.
Are there children present?
Some of the grandchildren, yes.
You're lifting your leg as if you're spraying your scent on him.
I'm sorry,
it's
Phil.
It's very sexual, and it is very exciting.
Is this woman for real? I mean, she sounds
like
a psycho.
Well, let me ask you something. Are you for real? Coming and calling me and saying that you're a dancer?
You're a psycho.
I am?
You really are.
Why? Because men like
you. You need help. I feel sorry for you.
No, the only one who needs help is
you.
In fact,
if I was that age, I would just quit, man. Or I would just sue you or
something. You know
what? You're just pathetic.
Sue me for what? You know what, Ingrid? I tell you what. The help you need is dance lessons.
Indecent exposure or something.
You're one of those girls who like to look like you dance with a pickle up your rear end. Stiff and rigid.
All right, well, look it.
Get out of here.
Listen to this.
Phil, I don't know about this.
One, two, three, and one, two, three. You slide up and down, slide away. You know, you're just jealous because in many ways, because I know Diane Sawyer, because I know all of these big names, and you don't, it just sort of puts you in your place, doesn't it?
I don't care. I don't care. You're nuts.
You're a liar. Yes, you do care.
Yeah, you're nuts.
You don't care. You don't care that I party with Diane Sawyer.
Care less.
Lying second.
Right.
All right, now listen to this. Now my head roundsy. I'm doing my head around. I'm throwing my hair around. Now my hips boom, chicks. But I'm throwing my hair around like a wild woman. Then I start purring. And the men, by this time, they're just pawing at me.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Oh, God, what was that the Mexican?
She's Colombian. Yes, it was.
Now I'm on my back, legs open, shut, open, shut, open, shut.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Are you...
You on the dance floor by yourself doing this?
No, there's others around.
Gee, it must be really comfortable on that dance floor with you down on the floor, legs open, shut.
So what happens is they see how good I am and they clear off. They back away. And then they start clapping their hands. Yeah. Yeah. And then I purr again. Then I roar like a jungle cat. And then what I do is...
Oh, I don't care. You're making me sick.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, time for a mailbag on the Phil Hendry Show. Hey, Phil, although I appreciate your analysis of what-if surrounding the alleged leaks from the White House, you fail to realize exactly why the president shouldn't interview his own staff. Distance is important for the president right now, and if he gets overly involved with staff members in personal closed-door sessions before they are interviewed by the Justice Department, anything done by the culprit will reflect back on that closed-door session. His political opponents would be raising questions about the interviews or any private sessions for the next 10 years, giving us much the same knee-jerk blubbering you have noted many conservatives have been doing with President Clinton. Phil Big Daddy Hendry, after seeing your site for the free weekend, I subscribed and have never been more happy. I will be buying a Western Estates robe for my mom and a Phil Hendry coffee mug for myself. And if my dad's lucky, he'll get a tie. I'll be joining the Navy this January, so I hope I can continue to listen. Aaron Mueller, a.k.a. Hascorn, a.k.a. Corn. Yeah. Typical Democrat, Phil, you'd give up your mother to save yourself. When it comes to national security, the end justifies the means. Bob Shepard, Sedco. Hola, Phil, you are like nightly orgasm. I make sure by 10 p.m. I'm in the bed and to enjoy all of you. Thank you so much for the laughter. I've replaced my boyfriend with you coming through my Bose radio. 3 hours of passion, power, truth, joy, drama, news, and views. I'm a happy woman. Well, that and some popcorn, candles, the nightly breeze, and this little teddy. Oh, you've got this sister's creative juices flowing like the Niagara Falls. You rock. Jesus. We got a return email on the... Oh, I mean, thank you. That's Dia. Thanks, Dia. Not funny, Phil. O'Reilly's right on most of the time. Randy from Tampa. Oh, because we said he had a small penis? And then finally, Phil, the white tendency toward understatement at the uprights and elsewhere is biological in origin. Biology begets culture and culture influences behavior. Don't knock white people for being that way, you Canadian-born Irish ass. Love, Rich in Ohio. Out of sight, baby. That's our mailbag. You want to send us something? Oh, wait, I got another one here. Oh, this poor kid. Should I read this poor kid? You know this poor guy that got shot at Dodger Stadium the other night? They buried him, and one of his friends said, "We buried a friend Saturday, a friend who happened to be simply a sports fan. He was a San Francisco Giant fan. He was at Dodger Stadium. He got into it with some scumbag Dodger fan and got killed. Shot and killed." So he was just basically saying, "Thanks for your show. Respectful on your sports-related opinions, sir. Is just me and my rage, or should I return to the stands?" Anyway, the guy's obviously just sort of, like, bereaved. But... he was somehow trying to tie that all in with what my axe, the axe that I got to grind with athletes, which I don't quite get. But the culture of violence is definitely there. And people with guns, people who are wielding guns, this poor guy had no defense. So I keep going back to the same thing, and I'll keep going back to the same thing. Somebody pulls a gun on you, you pull a gun on them. I ain't kidding either. Otherwise, we're all just a bunch of suckers. Why don't we just say what we need to say? Someone pulls a gun on you, you better pull a gun on them. Otherwise, we're just sitting here, we're just marking time before the next nut comes into the office with a shotgun because somebody under, you know, said the payroll got his check wrong. 1-800-449-8686. That's what I fear every time I see Bill Handel. I'm kidding, Bill. Jesus, don't go nuts on me on this one.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.